It's the KFFSC All-Purpose Roto Fantasy Tactics Show.
Oh yeah, every Tuesday night, it's the KFFFC Expert Roundtable Show, brought to you by the good folks at KFFFC and All Purpose Roto. The Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, as you all know, is the second largest draft that's live for fantasy football outside of Las Vegas. Congratulations to Farrell on that. Keep it going, Farrell. Keep it growing, brother. We love that. Each week, said Commissioner Farrell Elliott welcomes in experts from across the country to help us. Man, we got people, they do come from everywhere. The new analytics, by the way, our web guru, Josh, has been showing me some stuff. Got some like downloads from like England and Singapore and Australia. I mean, I know it's only one or two, but I'd love one of those questions from there. They'll let me kind of strut my feathers. Champions and veterans from all the majors join in to share tips, discuss strategy, and answer your questions. And now, of course, live from the said Fantasy Football Tactics Studio, this is the Roundtable. A little bit singular right now because it's just Bob, but we'll have Sean and or Farrell, a couple other folks probably calling here pretty soon, and we'll go from there. Tonight, though, kind of a different little spin than a lot of shows are doing out there right now. I want to take a look back at the 2015 draft, and the reason we do that is because it gives us an opportunity to get a little bit a sanity, a reality check from everything that's going on as far as the spin on this year's rookie class. Now, don't get me wrong, there's players out there that we love. They'll perform. They'll do a great job this year for you in your draft. But picking those rookies that'll do that, of course, is the magic pill. As Mr. Johnson owners for the Cardinals would attest to last year, they know that was certainly the thing that helped them in a lot of leagues, at least get to the playoffs and maybe win their championships. So, you still got to temper these rookie expectations. We get spoiled by the Odell Beckham stories, the David Johnson stories. These kind of get us thinking that it's a little easier to pick these rookies where they are. And then, of course, you end up with a situation where you've invested a high pick in a player that's not necessarily going to be your guy. So I'm going to start out talking about the quarterbacks. And usually, of course, quarterbacks are something that don't have rookie impact, as you all know. And this year, of course, or going back to last year, the Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota were the big players. Now, you know, Jameis came on strong. Given the problems, let's say, when you start getting to the ranking quarterbacks at the 20 rank, number 20 or so, Jameis was a surprising player last year and really impressed a lot of us with what he did and how he performed. Going to that Tampa Bay offense, you know, we're a little bit concerned what they could get do, but the thing he's got going for him, as we all know, is said Mike Evans. That's pretty decent help right there, folks. Vincent Jackson was no slouch, although he was hurt most of the year. That definitely hurt him. Austin Safarian Jenkins, most of us were big on him all year, and we're hoping for a big year from ASJ. We didn't get it, but what I'm trying to say is Winston's kind of surprised us. So this quarterback, athletic, strong, very capable. You need to keep a close eye on this year in your drafts. And, of course, you're going to be drafting quarterbacks very late. The guy threw for 4,000 yards as a rookie. And, you know, I remember not long ago we'd be ranting and raving about how unbelievable that was. 22 touchdowns, 15 picks. That was a lot. Doesn't hurt you as much as most fantasy formats, but it's still a little bit of a sing there. Gave up 27 sacks, so that line was hurting. Doug Martin returns. Vincent Jackson's healthy. ASJ should be better. 4,000 yards, 22 yards with a rookie quarterback, Dirk Koetter, taking over. There's a lot to be said for Jameis Winston, surprising. But, of course, this show, as most of you all know, we've been long-term Buccaneer fans trying to get that team turned around. So we're big on Winston. I think we have the illustrious King Commissioner from the KFFFC on the line. Is that you, Farrell?
You know, it is. And I love that introduction. Illustrious.
You deserve it. You're the man.
Really. It's hard to, you know, no one in daily life as you move through the world ever refers to you as illustrious. So, you know, yeah. Bobby Butterfield, you've made my day, week, year, month, lifetime. It's great.
Farrell, people don't know this, but, you know, they see you at Louisville probably, and the ones that don't go to Vegas, they go, man, that's the guy, you know, because let's be honest, the whole event kind of circulates around you, and it's great. And my gosh, we have so many, you know, people pick on you and we have fun, and people compliment you, we have fun. All that stuff goes on, and of course, you're babying all of us. You're trying to take care of all of us, make us happy.
People pick on me.
Yeah, but what you don't know, well, I like picking on your
coat.
Well,
I take everything back I just said.
Yeah. Well, no, but it's a loving pick. It's like a brother picking on a brother. But what they don't know, what they don't know is in Las Vegas, it's not that easy to get a hold of you sometimes either in there, because you're running around connecting, talking to all kinds of people there too.
Yeah, we got a great following nationwide, buddy. Everyone,
really do,
Bobby. Everybody really, really looks forward to coming to Kentucky and being part of it. So we want the listeners to do so as well. You know that as one of the things when we started the league that I really wasn't anticipating. I thought there might be some, but I didn't really expect the national flow. Into Kentucky the last weekend in August to play in the KFFSC. So our slogan is, if you want to be the best, you've got to play against the best.
That's right.
If you want to play against the best, you can come to Kentucky, because that's where the best players are.
That's great. Just before you joined, I was saying our web guy, Mr. Josh Beck, there was showing me our new analytics. Like, we can see where some of our smartphone downloads were. And I'm like, man, we got a guy downloaded us in Singapore and a guy in Australia, a couple guys in England. I'm like, hey, man, drop us an email. We want you in some island leagues. That'll be fun. We can crown you European KFFFC champion, right?
That guy in Singapore, he's stalking me a little bit because I owe him some money. That's what that's about.
Hey, so real quick.
Yeah, the rest of those guys.
Yeah. Football. Yeah, it's just great, great stuff, fun stuff. So quickly, quarterbacks, I'm telling folks, you know, we're trying to temper your expectations, but still go for those high-profile rookies. So we're going to talk about last year's rookies. Jameis Winston, you know, we don't talk enough about this guy. A lot of people were down on him. I was just telling the listeners, 4,000 yards, 22 TDs without a Vincent Jackson, without an ASJ healthy, and now Dirk Koetter. You know, this is not a bad quarterback to pick up for this year.
No, he's going to come together. He's going to be drafted higher than he ever has been. And, you know, he was playing much, much differently even through the fourth or fifth game last year. I think if you look at your chart, Bobby, you'll see him. You would see some play from him. When he gets a full complement of receivers, and he made he's going to be better. And, you know, he made the they had a tight end, a little move tight end that they played towards the end of the year, and he made him look like a good player. Mm-hmm. And he's a very ordinary tight end. So he's making those around him look better. They've locked up their running back game, and they have them taken care of in Martin. You know, Tampa usually in the past, historically, which means nothing here, absolutely nothing here, but we've seen them get in a situation in the past where it looks like it's coming together and they take huge steps backwards. Not this year, buddy. You can believe in the Bucs.
I'm with you. I like their three targets. I like the stable running back, three wide receivers. And Farrell, your memory never ceases to surprise me. Three great games to finish the year, essentially 360, 300, and 325 in yardage with four touchdowns. So he did finish strong. Now, Marcus Mariota, it's a different world over there. Round one, second pick for the Titans. Everyone wanted a lot out of the young gun, the spread offense, man, air it out. But he doesn't have the same situation there. And not as exciting a prospect, but still some juice going on there. Are you more tempered with him?
Yes, on paper right now. We've got to see what that Tennessee team looks like. Got to study that schedule. You know, they play in a division that is pass happy, and they play in a division where you must score points to compete. And in a lot of games, they didn't compete last year. It'll be interesting to see both these players playing as healthy quarterbacks in the league. We're going to be talking about them both for a long, long time. For the upcoming 2016 campaign, Winston should go over Marcus in this draft.
Yeah, and this is not the same rules. Dorial Green-Beckham is the sexy thing there. Rashad Matthews coming from Miami. He did still huck the ball, missed a few games of that knee, 2,800 yards, 19 touchdowns, 10 picks. He was a good player for this team, but again, I agree with you. And then after that was Bryce Petty, Garrett Garrison. So remember, all these other quarterbacks people are kind of talk about now after the top two, How much did you see out of Petty, Grayson, Hudley, Mannion, and Simmons? We didn't see anything, so keep that in mind. Just remember that after you get past those guys. Don't buy into that hype. There's going to be a lot of talking heads talking about quarterbacks. Let's go to running back. That's where the metal hits the ground, man. The pavement is just earing for jackhammer activity. Todd Gurley, 10th overall. The Rams made no mistake there. He's possibly going off as the number one guy this year.
He will, and I'd like to make a prediction on this player. I think we're looking at a guy here that is going to be overdrafted. I think we're going to see a bit of a sophomore slump, more of a balanced team, teams recognizing to do to stop him. It's not going to be the same kind of year for Gurley as he had last year.
Well, he doesn't have the weapons around him either, and I think the move to L.A. doesn't help in the same coaching situation. Now, granted, the rookie, 1,100 yards, the 4.8 average got a lot of heads turned, and the fact that this guy essentially missed the first three games of the year and still pulled in 1,100 yards and also missed the last game of the year, so they didn't play him there when he was nicked up.
What's wrong with that move to L.A.? You think the traffic's going to slow him down or something? Why does that have anything to do with it?
A lot of construction down there. Going to stress him out, getting to the stadium. There's no nirvana there. It's just not going to be good. I'm like you. I think taking him, 1, 2, 3 is a tough pill. I have him up pretty high too. He's in my top four running backs for sure. But man, I'd rather be drafting the 8, 9, 10. Just like we always talk about draft strategy, we have that 20 experts on, folks, during June and July. You'll talk about where they like to pick, and you're going to hear most folks like to be around that 7, 8, 9, 10, and afterwards. So, but Farrell, one more thing on him, man. Again, he missed four games, really five. Mm. He had 1,100 yards.
That's true. That's true. He will be overdrafted this year. That's all I'm going to say.
21. I'm with you.
I don't believe you're going to get. You're not going to get the return for where you're going to have to pick him, and he's going to fly up the boards.
He will. Melvin Gordon. It's the opposite. He is plummeting like Superman without any juice. He was drafted in the 15th pick for the Chargers. Things didn't go so good. And let's talk about it, man. This was the sexy pick at most fantasy drafts. People wanted that San Diego running game. This is the guy. He is the guy. And, man, did he fall on hard times for fantasy owners.
We talked about two teams that confused fantasy owners last year. They were Baltimore and San Diego, and both of them underproduced in their running game. We just expected more from Gordon. And it, I don't remember a lot of flashes, Bobby, to be honest.
No.
I don't remember some things where you could say there is a great deal there. He looked uncomfortable, confused. It just was a very, very difficult rookie season for this player.
Sure.
But I think he's a very good player. Can you look at the numbers and see how
– Yep.
To see that he did come on later in the year, so much had gone away from the Chargers' attack. So many injuries, so many terrible games for them.
Well, the games were bad, and he was those last five games. He never touched the ball more than 15 times. He had good games towards the end, weeks 12 and 13 against a tough Jacksonville team. 14 carries for 60. Also had five catches, so you like that. And then against Denver, that was tough defense, 12 for 55, but only one catch. They weren't in the game. He only eclipsed 4 yards a carry, four times. Pretty tough sledding, like you said. 7 to 15 carries, a lot. Ended the year with 640 yards. Kind of like the 33 catches, though, right, with Phillip Rivers. I kind of like that.
So how do you evaluate this player? You've got to look at what else they've got going on in the backfield there, and then you've got to really watch the camp. Not so much the games, but the camp. There's so many interviews. You can tell a lot about what a player brings to the locker room, his energy level, his conversational level, what the local media, not the national media, but the local media who you can catch them on national shows making commentary, but you can also read them. Some of the fantasy sites pick up their articles. It'll be real. This will be a player to follow and see how he's going to react to this hardship and this sluggish start that he's had in his career.
I like what you said there. That's exactly right. How does he react? A rookie reacting, because you've got a little more insight than most of us on that. You know, what does that player realize his first year in the NFL? You know, a big transition, of course, not around the typical support system. It's different, of course, the level of competition. So you're right. How do you react once you come in here and go, holy cow, look what these guys can do? That's a big guy who can run awfully fast. And coming from Wisconsin, you know, he played some good teams, but certainly a little different in the NFL. Now, the third running back who also got a lot of play in fantasy circles, and, man, people jumped on him because there was no respect for a Mr. Freeman. Tevin Coleman, if people recall, drafted in the third round by Atlanta, but in most fantasy circles, sometimes eclipsed Gordon, Farrell. Coleman, big disappointment, ended the year with a paltry 392 yards because, you know, Freeman wouldn't let him on the field. Five games, he never even touched the ball.
Yeah, it was the Freeman show often and early down there, and there was no reason for him to come back on the field for he was hurt. And they had a great producer in front of him, a guy that looked like he could be the MVP for a while there. This is a bit of a mystery situation. So you can sort of flip where these guys went in the draft last year. I believe Freeman was a 10th rounder. I don't know, especially here because of the Hoosier connection. I don't know if Coleman will drop that late, but he's not in an equal share offensive backfield opportunity in Atlanta.
So the takeaway here, though, to me, this is what this particular show is about, is, you know, the caution sign. Tevin Coleman, third running back taken off the board. You know, here I am at my fantasy draft looking for a good upside rookie that has a good situation in front of him. In Atlanta, if you weren't a Freeman believer, which most people weren't, you kind of say, hey, you know, the golden rules, opportunity, okay offense. You know, there's nothing wrong with Atlanta offense. You're kind of happy with that. So you're feeling pretty good. So there's people this year, depending on where like a guy like Kenneth Dixon goes, you know, say he goes to Miami where Jay Ajayi hasn't done anything. He's got a bad knee. You're kind of feeling about drafting him. He could be a bust. Derrick Henry, everyone's all excited about him. You know, maybe he goes to Baltimore and just has to beat out Forsett. So, you know, what do you look for, Farrell, in the summer and in the camp that maybe there were hints there that we didn't see that Freeman was starting to come on and Coleman was not going to be ready for the NFL or at least not put that player on the bench?
It's the hardest position to follow with Foster being a free agent and being productive in the league. It's the hardest position to say, well, the teams must have known about this player. They drafted him so high. They absolutely loved him. Well, the running back position, anyone who follows a draft or is a draft pick knows that the running back position has less value all the time. I'll give you, for instance, Ezekiel Elliott just spent his Sunday in Dallas with the Cowboys, who have the fourth pick in the draft. And I don't think there's any way in the world that they would spend that pick on a running back, but a few years ago, that might be a sure sign that the Cowboys were interested in this player. The running backs have come to the forefront in the NFL through the proverbial back door of free agency, of part-time playing, of finally getting that opportunity. And so you've got to take that in your mind when you're drafting. You've got to be mindful of that. And you could be again, drafting players early that end up having the same results of Tevin Coleman or Mr. Gordon did last year.
If it got bad for you when you drafted Tevin Coleman and you kind of saw through it somehow and were worried about Freeman, worried about Atlanta, you weren't probably worried about Duke Johnson because you took a look at Cleveland and you said, I'm never listening to Bobby Butterfield about Isaiah Crowell. So Duke Johnson going in the third round in Cleveland, he became a hot commodity in Louisville at the Horseshoe Casino. His ADP went up every single draft. Now, he disappointed because he got hurt, and the Browns couldn't make up their minds as to what the heck they were doing every week. He ended up with a pretty rough rough outing as a rookie, 379 yards with 3.6 rushing average. It was the 34 catches that got a lot of people pretty excited. Excuse me, the 61 catches that got people really excited. He was in that passing game, in that crazy, dysfunctional Cleveland team. So he pulled in 500-plus yards receiving, Farrell, added to about 400 yards rushing. So he ends up with a 900-yard campaign. PPR leagues, he kind of, middle of the year, he was on fire with days like 9, 6, 7. Those are some good days. Duke was the fourth back taken in the rookie draft. So do you think he's back in Cleveland like that? And is there any takeaway from that?
Yes, you know, Duke is a situation where he's going to have to be called on again. We've got to look at this team's draft because that's what they're doing. The talent is leaving town, and the young guys are coming in, and they're going to play them. And so we've got to watch what they do in the draft. But if they don't go running back early, or if you don't see a running back that flashes during camp, I think you can rely on Duke having to bring a lot to the team's offense. And so, yes, those passes and that yardage, that production should be there. And Cleveland's going to be a much better team. You know, it's just so evident of what the NFL was about last year and how even some of the worst teams really were in a situation where they could have jumped the line at points in the season. Bobby, what week was it that I believe Denver came to Cleveland, and did that game go overtime?
Oh, yes, I think that was the scary game there where they went overtime. I'll try to pull that up here.
You know, that game goes overtime, and Cleveland loses it, and they go to a losing record. I forget what their record was.
Week six.
They would have been on the right side.
Week six. They were 2-3 at the time, and that was a heartbreaker, 23-26. You're right.
Right, so they lose that game, and a lot of things fall apart for that team, and the quarterback change didn't work, and so it all went downhill, and it cost people their jobs, both in the coaching staff and the front office. But you've got some good players with this team, and Duke Johnson is going to have on a very young team, probably a pretty good, significant leadership role, and they're going to lean on him. So, yeah, Duke Johnson, I think, will outperform his draft position this year.
Next pick, quote, a game-changing runner who is the only player in Nebraska history to have three 1,000-yard rushing seasons. Size might limit his ability to become a workhorse. He will fit nicely in a backfield with a powerful, bruising type of runner. We are talking about Ameer Abdullah, the second round pick, 22nd overall, who was a fantasy affair waiting to happen for so many owners after those preseason games. Goodness, were we all burnt and suckered in on preseason stats. So talk to me, how do I shift down, Farrell, when I see a couple good preseason games? This guy did pull in 4 yards of carry. That's almost 600 yards rushing he had. He did have 25 catches, so that helped a little bit. But, you know, the TDs, he had 3 TDs, and obviously he was, like you said, not there like Melvin Gordon. What do I do when I see this happen again with a rookie this year in preseason?
You stick with it because the film doesn't lie. The film doesn't lie. Now, you want to see a bigger, a bigger sample size than what they get. Mm-hmm. You want to see more carries. You would like to see, you know, six preseason games were very, very difficult on the ball players, but as a fantasy player, you would love to see it because you can understand. And that's what it was, several years ago. So what in this player's case, Bobby, I hear you refer to players sometimes as sexy picks, and I don't see anything sexy. But this guy is a guy you could truly would describe as the sexy pick. You remember the player that moved out of the league, came in with Doug Martin the same year, and moved out of the league because of injury, never could stay healthy. Their giant running back, Wilson.
David Wilson got the neck injury.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, now David Wilson had that talent, and his career got sidetracked by injury. Abdullah's career early on here has been sidetracked just by the absolute mess that he stepped into.
Very true.
He's going to need some support around him. We're going to need better players. But it does exist, better players in Detroit, but it certainly does exist that there is a real situation here that speaks to Abdullah having a real bounce back year. The talent is there. I guess we thought that he was going to be what Reggie Bush was supposed to be. Neither player produced in that offense, but the talent is there. He's a good-looking cutback runner. Where do you think, Bobby, if we had the draft today, where do you think he would go?
Yeah, I think he's a fascinating player to predict what you just said, because I think there's a lot of guys totally burnt on him and off on the Lions without Calvin Johnson. And I think you're right. It's a great opportunity. He's kind of – what's the big difference between him and Freeman? You know, Freeman, different type of player, but everyone kind of wrote him off after a couple of years, not impressive, and bang, I mean, the guy's on fire. So I think Abdullah, right, that what you said was the key thing. You know, what prevents me from getting sucked in again? Your key comment was right. Watch the film, look at that player, see what you think. And what I like better, too, is Yokebell is gone. You want to make a few jokes? Sure. A lot of catches. Still a very good football player for a team that needed help. He found his way on the field. So he's gone. Theo Riddick is a good athlete, a good football player, a good teammate. I think that hurt Abdullah's chances because they had that guy there on the field. So now it's like, hey, wait, we got to start building our team. And they brought in Ridley, right? So, and I think Ridley's a good fit to run with Abdullah. Do you?
I do. He's a complimentary player at best. So that's a sheer sign that they believe in Abdullah as well.
Yeah, I like it quite a bit. So I'm with you. And plus, man, we got to be pulling for those Lions. Come on, man. We want those good Turkey Day games. Now, this guy here, though, people were definitely afraid of him, and he moved down. The same way Abdullah moved up in drafts, Yeldon was moving down. T.J. Yeldon taken in the second round by the Jags. People were worried about that. They didn't want to touch this Jacksonville team. Well, you made a mistake. Pretty nice season. 740 yards on the ground. Added 36 catches. So nice. But a lot of fear now that Chris Ivory's there.
Yes. A true opportunity, though, with two bruising backs, two different types of backs, in a situation where you've got a team that likes to throw the ball and a quarterback that knows how to throw the ball. I see this team getting a few more touches a game. I see this offense keeping the ball on the field. Maybe there's enough for both those players to go around, but Yeldon, Yeldon and Ivory, is one of those situations where you believe in the draft, you got to have them both.
I think, you know, a lot of guys do that. My recommendation is to put the player where he belongs. I mean, you know, I think some of your experts you have on, Duckworth and Cruz come to mind right off the bat always with their steady approach to the value of a player. So if you believe Irie's the better running back at the correct ADP where he isn't around, that's the guy you should take. It doesn't mean the next round you should be elevating Yeldon just because you have him. If Yeldon's there in three rounds where you think he belongs, take him. So in this situation, I lean towards Ivory. I think he's a heck of a football player, and I think the Jaguars don't want to see a lot of heavy use on Yeldon this year. So he got nicked up, and so I think they're going to be patient with that second-year running back. So I'd rather stick with the passing game, like you said 2 weeks ago, for Jacksonville. I'll take me some Allen Robinson, right?
Well, sticking with the passing game, so how many passes would you expect Yeldon to catch this coming year? Because that's a thought, too.
Well, you know, he caught 36, Farrell, last year. I think that's the floor this year. I'm very comfortable with that. I just think you've got this Julius Thomas thing. I think that's a good football player. So if he just stays healthy for 12 games, that's a lot of catches. You know, Allen Robinson, that's a lot of catches. Allen Hurns, that's a lot of catches. You know, so I just don't see enough to make him like a 75 catch guy, right? You know, now Yeldon, keep in mind those 36 catches, this guy didn't play four games. You know, comes in the NFL from Alabama, right, Farrell? So he's got played a long season the year before, probably, right? They probably went into the bowl season, right? So he comes in 9:13. He's got to start playing football. Gets three catches. Misses, like I said, a total of four games. Still gets 36 catches. So, you know, maybe we should be thinking 50, 55 catches, right?
If you take 55 catches on this ball player, then you've got somebody that you're going to be able to plug and play successfully, especially against some of these matchups that you know are going to be big scoring games in this division. I'm liking Jacksonville every week a little more, Bobby. That scares me.
Yeah, so three games. Let's
and,
just
you know,
give
I'm a guy that doesn't live in fear, Bobby.
No, you are definitely a guy who does not live in fear. I see who you like to hang out with. Now, so if the three of those games, let's say he still misses one game, it plays the other three, gets his floor, which was like 65 yards, that's adding almost 200 yards. He would have been almost a 1,000-yard back. He would have gotten three catches each game. He would have had 46 catches. Now, I know it's dangerous to extrapolate the numbers like that, but it lets me give a feel of what that guy was doing every week. It's as you would say, pretty sexy. And he's probably going to move down because people are going to be on that. He's going to be down on that Chris Ivory thing. So real quick before we move to wide receivers, I'll just mention the next group of five backs. And you can talk about anyone you want. And we'll probably mention each one of them a little bit. Naturally, we got to talk about David Johnson. He went – that's a third-round pick of the Cardinals. No one wanted – a lot of people were off on that. David Johnson, Carlos Williams in Buffalo, Jeremy Langford, who's now getting a lot of play, and Javaris Allen. So Johnson and Williams, I guess, is who you want to mention, right?
Yes, and Johnson's going to move up the board significantly as we approach draft day. There's a lot of talk and a lot of belief in this player. I think they mix it up a little bit too much in Arizona for me to want to draft this player where I'm going to have to draft him. Carlos Williams, I truly don't want to, you know, I'm falling in love with some things at Jacksonville. I never thought I would say that. I don't know what I'm ever going to do when you go back to your old stomping grounds in that part of the world. And Langford, yes, is going to get some play, but he's going to have to flash at the preseason.
Yeah, he's getting way too much play, I think, for what's going on there. So the David Johnson thing, I think bringing Chris Johnson is something to only help you if it scares off a few players. So I think that's a great situation. You know, don't worry about that. When you're drafting David Johnson, make sure you're not taking David Johnson, the tight end from San Diego. Be careful there. But, you know, Johnson was a monster. 581 yards, 4.5 yards a carry, and 36 catches. You know, just lit the world on fire. And towards the end of the season was money in the bank for about four catches a game for the last seven or eight games. And was plucked off, five of his eight touchdowns in the last six games. So, Farrell, you know, you're right. Overdrafting Todd Gurley, David Johnson slides down boards a little bit because of the Adrian Petersons, the girlies, like you said. So, David, how far up does he belong, you think, in drafts right now?
I think David Johnson will end up being a third or fourth round pick. And I think that people are going to run him out there as their starting 1A or number 2 running back and expect him to walk away with the job this year. Especially out in Las Vegas, where we're playing in that market, you get some guys that are from that area and are impressed by him. Now, you know, for the guys that are playing in their basement, you can get a good feel about who your buddies like. You can approach this differently. So in high-stakes fantasy football, Johnson is not going to be as big a bargain as he might be in some guy's basement in Duluth, you know.
There you go. Yes, I submitted my rankings to Fantasy Pros, and looking at their ADP, you know, Johnson's now climbing in that group of pre-stakes drafting. They're putting him in early round two pretty consistently now. So the love is there because of all the media. Yeah, and you talk about that, Farrell, a lot when you start bringing your experts in who say, you know, look at tape, look at the player, look at the situation, don't look at the media. So the media is just, you know, it's just like tricking a stock market tip, you know. It's all the buzz is out there, so the stock price is going up.
And Bobby, it is a lot of buzz in the preseason because there has become so little to write about.
Right.
The press used to be embedded for weeks and weeks and got to know the players, and the players would be forthcoming with information, and none of that exists anymore, and they're not working that hard in camp anymore anyway. The two-a-days are a thing of the ancient history, and there's just not a lot of hard evidence to write about. So the writers have to get a little creative sometimes, so keep that in mind with what you're reading.
Yep. So as we pass and turn the page here, running backs, of course, there was a lot of speculation and late-round picks on Cameron Artis Payne because there was no belief in Jonathan Stewart. So that was misplaced faith, folks. We got to remember that when looking at this, you know, eighth or ninth running back taken here in a month. Remember, it doesn't mean anything that he's going in behind an unproven. Yeah, it doesn't mean a thing. And David Cobb going into Tennessee, going into Tennessee, you know, everyone thought that was a great opportunity. And we all know how that turned out. And it was a wide open door for him. Mike Davis even got some love because no one was sure Carlos Hyde would come back, right? And worried about the San Francisco team. So there was some love for Davis out of the preseason. So remember that. We watch these drafts in April, like Farrell said, to see all this hype. Go to the player, go to the type. Listen to Farrell's experts when they come in because they will tell you where some of these guys kind of fester out when it comes to real ability to carry the ball. And we always will talk about the intelligence of this game. A running back needs to know his assignments, needs to be able to pass block, more important than anything as a rookie. So Farrell, we're not far away, my friend. We can start talking draft days, you know, in the Horseshoe. It's August 26th, 27th, 28th at the Horseshoe, the week before in Cincinnati. As always, we got to tell people to get out there because, you know, as I've always said, you don't pay me to be here and be a spokesman for you. And that's because I have such a damn good time out there, and I want more people out there. I want a free cup of coffee from a friend. That's always good for me.
Bobby Butterfield, you are a trip. You are an anchor for both events, both in Cincinnati and Louisville. You know, I was just thinking, Bobby, we were talking in July of last year, and we had back-to-back experts that came on, and I'm curious if you remember who they were, but there was a number of conversations about the backfield situation in New England, and we had back-to-back unrelated experts that did not copycat each off of each other, who introduced us to the concept of drafting Deion Lewis.
I don't recall who that was, but I do know it did happen. There were so many that came on. I mean, I think we posted 20 folks. So who gave us that, and why the heck didn't you make sure I wrote that down?
It was Travis Cox.
Oh yeah, it was.
And Stephen Hawley.
I don't remember
Stephen, back to back weeks, and and I will tell you exactly why he didn't, because you were very much interested in James White, and you definitely wanted to speak to you definitely believed in James White in the secondary, it was a situation. Hang on, Bobby, I've got a situation. You take over for a minute.
No,
I'll be
good.
Right,
you
back
take care.
You.
Yeah, he, you know, Farrell sometimes gets these calls, and again, we reminded you to folks. It is nice to have a guy like Farrell talk in the fantasy world because I know you all listen to lots of different experts with lots of different experience, and they play in different formats. And, you know, here we tell you, we're just trying to share our spin, our view, and our assessment of players.
I'm back, buddy.
You got it, Farrell. And with Farrell, we got a guy who runs some leagues, then participates in high-stake leagues out in Vegas for years, but also is a player agent. And so he has that spin that's a little different, which I think makes this show and the ability to play with the KFFC different. That he does bring me down to earth when I try to assess too much from too little information on a player, particularly when I'm trying to put that player down. He will point out to me, you know, other aspects, what might be going on, and I think that gives us a little bit of an edge on this show, and I think that's why we had some nice champions send us some emails and say, thanks for helping me this year. That's always kind of nice, so... That's why Farrell might suddenly... I was with Farrell Saturday or Sunday, I don't remember the day it was, for a few minutes, and he got a couple of texts from football players asking for updates for what's going on, and he took a couple calls. You're a shaker, Farrell, man. You're a shaker in Kentucky.
You know, this is the business season of football, and we're enjoying it. You know, I had an interesting guy come up to me in Las Vegas one year, and I had done a guest spot with our boys, Gerzak and Eric Balkman, there on the High Stakes Fantasy Show. So anyway, I came on and did my 10 minutes, and I talked about Eric Decker, and everyone was really down on Eric Decker. I said, guys, you know, what does the signing of Eric Decker of the New York Jets mean? Well, it means that it's a big deal, and every person that's involved in it, if it does not work, is going to lose their job. And that's what a guy told me with the Jets. He said, you know, if this doesn't work, Farrell, we're all out of here.
Wow.
And the guy that told me that was a personnel guy that I really, really admired. And Decker came in and had a solid year, but it was, you know, not a success, and a lot of other things going on around the team. And a guy saw me in Vegas. He said, I'm back on Decker because of you. And I was glad he was, because he got in the seventh round.
Great.
You know, it worked out very, very positive for him. So, but every one of those guys that was involved there with that lost their job, except the one that told me that. And then he had the draft. Last year they had the NFL draft, and then the Jets fired him too. So actually he was quite truthful in the fact that if it didn't return big results, everybody loses their job. So when we pick a team in fantasy ball, all we lose is our entry fee and sometimes our pride. But there's real-world decisions behind this, and guys are putting reputations and careers on the lines when they make these picks. So you can keep that in mind. The people choosing to play certain players and give certain players a chance have a lot on the line, so sometimes you can follow what they've got on the line, if that makes sense to you.
It makes a lot of sense to me, and it also explains why you were on him. And you actually even told me, you probably don't remember, one of the FFPC drafts in Vegas, you mentioned to me, I want to say it was around 6 or 7, you said, don't let Decker go farther, you know, because I needed a wide receiver. That draft had gone kind of odd. It's one of those drafts where you had a tight end in that 1.5 tight end league, of course. And Decker, of course, 80 catches, 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. Yes, sir, you were right on that. So before we depart from the KFFC talks, I always like to make sure people know what's going on out there. They can get you at kffc.com. We all know that. The events are live. You can do in one draft, four drafts, but come out, five drafts, six drafts. We have different formats. Farrell's numbers on the show summary, 502-523-5057. I told you I want some breathing phone calls sent to him. 502-523-5057. I should do some of those. But Farrell, lots of different formats and ancillaries as far as the I Want Vegas. And you've got a pretty funny twist coming up for us this year that we're going to be talking about in the show. I believe we're leaving on a jet plane league.
We have our league that we're actually going to draft on the plane to Vegas. You know, our top five finishers all get a bid to play in Las Vegas at the FFPC to play for a $300,000 grand prize. So we'll have a number of people that will board the plane will be all in our contingent, and 12 of them will be drafting, or at least 12 teams will be drafting, as we make our way to Las Vegas on the nonstop flight September 7th of Wednesday.
So all kinds of fun, real, like, just real stuff going on where you can play and have a good time and laugh your bajikers off. And I understand there's getting to be a little bit of debate on what to call this league. So I think we should ask the listeners to send in some suggestions.
I love some suggestions. I love the suggestions. We're thinking about having the word jet in the league, and we're thinking about having the word flight, and we're thinking about some kind of club. So, you know, people can figure it out and give us some suggestions. I'd love some input.
Very good. All right, we're going to run out of time, so I want to at least hit the wide receivers real quick because, of course, that is the position where the spin is usually the rookies can help out a lot quicker. And, of course, Cooper and Kevin White were the top two picks there last year. And in rookie drafts, as far as in fantasy world, Cooper was taken but not with high expectations. Kevin White had a little more pub. So your thoughts on these two players, what happened last year, anything we could have learned from that, and what to do this year?
Cooper continues to improve, and I think you'll get him at a bargain price this year. I've got to see where he goes, but if it's anywhere south of the third round, I think Cooper will be a bargain for you. White should return to his skill set and bring that to the field and be a very, very big part of that offense. Who else did you ask about?
I was asking about Kevin White. The next guy was Devontae Parker, but no one expected anything out of him, to be honest. He was the third pick, but no one in the fantasy world thought that there'd be much coming from him, and we were right.
Until the final three games of the season.
Right.
And we'll have to see if Parker can put together a full season. He's yet to do that.
He's yet to do that. You're going to be surprised about your silver and black guy. Consensus on Fantasy Pros right now has Cooper as the 24th player, Farrell, off the board. So he's almost into the second round.
It doesn't surprise me, and that's probably where he should go. And so by drafting him there, you're going to get that value, but little else. You're not going to, it's not going to be that difference maker for you, because he's going to give you second round, late second round, early third round production is what you're going to get from him.
Now, the next guys were painful because there was a lot of hype going on. Breshad Perriman, son of a Perriman. Everyone thought opportunity, in Baltimore, it looked real good for the rookie coming out of Central Florida. 6 foot plus, the injury thing was a little bit of a concern, but man, a lot of people hopped on that, and that was a big fail. That was an epic fail, Farrell.
People look at the team and just think that because this position is available, and people were somewhat writing off Steve Smith, I believe, and, this player had a lot of hype, and I got to say, I didn't see it. Central Florida has a very, very good program, but, it's not the Big Ten. It's not the SEC. It is what it is, and this player's got a lot of maturity on the field to deliver, and now he's got to come over, come back from a physical issue. So we'll see.
Ooh, did I lose you there, Farrell? You still there? Yeah, he's got to come over. Let me know if you hear me. So the next players I was going to mention was Will Fuller and Josh Dotson. Fuller and Dotson, they're this year's rookies who I think are going to follow this type of path. Depending on the team they go to, they could be players that disappoint. So you got to watch where they go. And, man, don't move. I love Will Fuller. Don't get me wrong. I love Josh Dotson coming out of TCU. But, man, don't extrapolate, a 75-plus catch season because he's going over to, fill in Cincinnati because you don't believe in Brandon LaFell.
Oh, we're talking a little bit. We're talking now a little bit about this year's draft. Huh?
Well, I just compared that Perriman thing, and like the next player is going to mention, Aguilar. These two guys, I think we really felt good about them. They were fun picks to make in round 16, 17, and think you'd get something out of it. And they were far from that. They even moved up the boards, of course, as the fantasy season went on. And I'm just drawing a parallel to guys like a Josh Dotson and a Will Fuller. We like both those guys. We got to remember, even if they go into a great situation, I'm trying to tell myself, put the brakes on, pump those brakes, and look at some more veteran players before. And, man, our experts constantly said that, by the way. Look at those veterans. Don't ignore a veteran on that board for the sake of Will Fuller going into Cincinnati to threaten for the two spot, right?
I agree with you. Now, you want me to give you a rookie sleeper? He's not that much of a sleeper, I don't guess. But
yeah,
he's a wide receiver that I believe in. Football family. Lost his father much too early. But Oklahoma wideout Sterling Shepard is going to be one of the guys
that
I'm gonna keep a very, very close eye on this year. I like old Shep and what he'll be able to deliver, putting into certain situations. So I want to follow him and see where he lands, and I hope he lands with a quarterback that can deliver that ball to him.
You and I are going to be fighting over that guy in drafts because that's a possession-type guy if he goes to the right team. I'm super excited about that wide receiver. I've been drafting him in Bruce Kimbrough's Fat Cats mock drafts. I look for Bruce Kimbrough, our fat cat out there. It's kind of fun to mock draft with his guys. He does ADP, IDPs with those drafts a lot, but still a lot of fun. They're, you know, on a slow clock. You can have fun, see what guys are going. A lot of debate on Sterling Shepard on those, actually, Farrell. A lot of guys optimistic about his PPR capabilities. You know, I mentioned Nelson Aguilar as an example of a guy that we also got disappointed with an injury before we wrap up here. You know, school record punt returner, incredibly NFL ready, very developed, NFL caliber skill set. You know, I'm reading through the summary on that. Heady approach to the game. Wow, that didn't work out.
Oh, you're exactly right, Bobby. But, you know, it's a maturation process for these guys. So the flip side is don't give up on last year's group.
Correct. And so if he's healthy, unlike Perriman, who there's some concerns on his knee, right, a healthy Aguilar is a very interesting sliding player with Sam Bradford, who's also everyone's down on, but he still had some decent games. I know it's hard for everyone to remember that, but he did. And he came off a terrifically bad injury last year, by the way. So he was stone cold rusty. You know, he was like my knees after, you know, trying to run for 50 yards. So, you know, maybe cut Bradford a little slack when you look at the entire NFL caliber of quarterbacks across 32 teams. Yeah, okay, I'd take him over 10 of those other quarterbacks maybe. And Aguilar is right, a very sneaky pick. Could be a dynamite PPR receiver.
There's a player who everyone will remember from last year, and if he flashes in the preseason, he'll no longer be of value. So he almost needs to have a very quiet preseason for your strategy to work with him, Bobby. Yeah. But I agree. You've got a player there with a great skill set.
We do talk about that. We like you kind of don't mind your player kind of stumbling a little bit when you're really convinced of them. And interesting, I never said it when you're talking about David Johnson concerns in Arizona, not sure what's going on. You're right, because it's a little bit like New England. They will game scheme so well that, you know, whoever's getting the ball 1 week, you know, could almost disappear the following week. You know, bouncing back to Bradford, I had to do this because I was a believer and got singed on him.
Mm-hmm.
He finished the season, those last three games, no one's talking about it. 360, 380, 320 yards. And in those three games, five touchdowns. So, you know, he did turn the corner, in my opinion, and it's possible. You know, I guess you're drafting quarterbacks late, why not him? So, Farrell, kick us out of here. Remind everybody we'll be back next Tuesday, kfffc.com. Farrell Elliott is that commissioner. It's jfarrellelliott@gmail.com. Hit the podcast up. You'll see his stuff there. And it's August 26th, my anniversary, so I'll have to be doing some negotiating then. August 26th, 27th, 28th, and then the 20th in Cincinnati, Farrell.
Bobby, we're looking forward to a great August, and you said it all. The listeners need to check us out. Also, check out our Facebook page. Search for KFFSC, Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship on Facebook. We've got a lot of pictures of our beautiful girls from the University of Louisville dance team who facilitate our league, and always make it a pleasure to come down and get a little Southern hospitality in Kentucky. That's where everybody needs to be. Bobby Butterfield has an unlimited budget that weekend at the casino. He buys everyone wild turkey and any other bourbon they would like. And Bobby,
bourbon,
you know, all your closest friends that'll show up will be counting on one from you this year. That's going to be great.
That's right. Bourbon Rules, great spot for bourbon. Churchill Downs, have some fun. Thanks, everybody. See us next week. Don't forget, we've got live drafts down there and tons of online opportunities with Farrell coming up. Thanks, folks.
Ready, set, hike!
Will not be talking.